I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Did you know that Lucas Neff had only one TV credit to his name when he booked the lead role in Fox's Raising Hope? He put himself on tape and sent it to series producer Greg Garcia. Garcia watched the audition from his computer and immediately knew that Neff was his guy. So, even though his life has changed, he says he's just happy to be able to afford to go out to dinner and buy new socks. I talked with Lucas and Greg in a conference call where they talked about Lucas buying new socks, the process of him getting the role, and how he's grown as an actor. This site takes a lot of work, so I really appreciate it when you support our advertisers. And now, here's Lucas and Greg.
So, Greg, I know you found Lucas in a huge casting call. What was it about him that stood out from the tons of other actors you saw?
Well, yeah, I watched Lucas on tape. He was in Chicago, so I watched him on the computer. You know what? He just felt very real to me. You know, a lot of auditions that you watch and people are pushing it and trying to really push real hard to get the comedy and stuff, and he just felt just very honest and real to me, and I wanted this character to be somebody that people were rooting for, and kind of the eyes of the audience into this crazier world, somebody that definitely feels very overwhelmed by this new responsibility thrown in his lap, and I just kind of got that from his performance, and I think I got that from him as a person, that he was a very it just came through in his performance that he was a very honest and likable guy.
Well, thanks, Greg.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Greg.
Then I met him and realized he was just a really good actor because he's actually an asshole.
And this question is actually for both of you, for both your perspectives. What's your just general advice to actors?
I think being open, certainly, like, you know, I think my best work on the, you know, on this show is has always been when I've embraced, you know, the other people working on it, you know, and I think listening to your directors and listening to your other actors and, you know, I think being as open as possible and, you know, trying to constantly recommit yourself to the more honest choice. I know sometimes, you know, it's easy to get lost and, like, start, you know, like, especially in a comedy, and be like, what's the funniest thing? What's the funniest thing? And Greg's great about reminding me that, you know, the funny is there, and it's best just to be honest and simple. And I think as actors, if you can just be honest, simple, and really listen, you're probably doing something right.
My advice to actors would be to try to get onto, like, a hit TV show or a really big movie, because that's where most of the money is.
This show has such a unique premise. So, Greg, what inspired you to come up with this concept?
Who knows? I just kind of wanted to do a domestic comedy, so I just kind of sat back and thought, what's a crazy situation I can get these people into? I kind of knew the premise I wanted was this family kind of trying to raise this baby on their own and not knowing what they're doing, and I didn't want the mom to be around, because my fear is that I would kind of write the mom to be perhaps a little more knowledgeable with babies, and I really wanted this guy to really character of Jimmy to be not have as little help as possible. So in thinking about that, I thought about the ways to not have the mom around, and this is what I came up with.
You certainly came up with a good one.
Yeah.
The best way to not have a mom around.
Yeah.
Just execute her.
Yeah, and Lucas, what's the experience been like? You know, there's always talk about working with babies and animals. What's it been like working with the babies so close?
I'm now, this is just a theory, but I'm, I guess the babies, you know, like adults, they're very individual. And so I think, you know, I can't really tell you what working with babies is like, but I can tell you what working with these babies is like. And they're great. They're really, really personable. They're really social. And I think they're in a really good community of people on set. I mean, certainly everybody in the crew and cast really adores these two little girls, and we look out for them, and they're a lot of fun to work with. So I have only good things to say.
I wanted to know, since you've been playing this role for a little while now, are you starting to see similarities with your own personality and with Jimmy's?
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, there's sort of a very symbiotic thing which happens on good TV shows and with great writers, which is that they start to sort of, like, embrace who the actors are and try to make the roles more specific to what they bring and what they can do. And I know we certainly try to incorporate, like, the abilities and talents of all the actors on the set, and I think that, you know, there's some goofy skills that Jimmy has that are certainly only there because they're skills that I have.
Do you do animal calls, by the way? Because I just noticed that in the script.
I think I talked to Bobby about incorporating some animal calls.
Well, they're in there, buddy.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
And there's goofy things like that.
And Greg, for you, there's a great moment in the first episode back with the rotary phone when Jimmy wants to leave his message and he wants to re-record.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit? I mean, that had me literally laughing on the floor. Can you talk a little bit about, like, do you draw moments from that, from things that have actually happened to you?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, I like, you know, like, that house that they live in, you know, I love it. I love being down in that set, and if you ever came to my office, you'd see that my office looks very similar to that set. I actually have a room in my house that we did for the kids, for like a playroom for them, that looks very much like that set. And on the wall is an orange rotary phone in their playroom. And I have been on that phone and needed to press a button and not been able to do so. So yeah, I like to surround myself with the stuff that is kind of in the show, and then you never know where inspiration will strike.
Lucas, I was wondering, you have great comedic timing. Is it something that you worked at, or are you naturally a funny individual?
I mean, I think sometimes I'm funny in ways that I'm not planning on, unfortunately. Like, I think there are some people who are certainly graced with a certain sort of ability to be, that people are happy to laugh at you, you know. But I think in this situation, I think it's more a case of I'm surrounded by really, really funny people almost all the time. Garrett, Martha, Shannon, Cloris, Greg, the whole staff of writers, and I certainly am so, you know, I try to be a sponge, and I think I try to embrace, you know, as much as I can from all of them. And so thank you for saying that I have good timing, but I really think it's a tribute to sort of how great the ensemble of funny people are in the room, because I certainly benefit greatly from being around all these other funny people.
So what is it like working together, and can you share some funny behind-the-scenes stories with us?
Well, it's a lot of fun working together. We do have a great time. You know, everybody here, the cast, the crew, the writers, it's a big family. Everybody has a whole lot of fun. Behind the scenes, Lucas is sleeping with Cloris Leachman, but...
That's just for sleep purposes. She's like a electric blanket. She's very comforting, and her core temperature is so high, it's astounding.
She's warm. She's like sleeping with a heating pad. I don't know, Lucas. Can you give any behind the scenes stories?
Well, I remember when you tested a fire extinguisher out on me. That was interesting.
That was fun. Yeah, we were doing a stunt with a guy with a fire extinguisher, so I sprayed Lucas. Well, first, you sprayed me, I think, first, and then I sprayed
you. Yeah, I sprayed you to make sure it wouldn't kill me. Let me see. There's lots of Cloris stories.
Cloris keeps things very interesting around here. She's always licking somebody or doing something off the wall. But I can't think of any other good behind-the-scenes stuff.
There's
just kind of a really normal show that just like really kind of laid-back, fun people that just come to work and do a good job, and then we leave, and there's no fun Charlie Sheen antics going on around here, unfortunately. We need like one. We need that. We need like one guy who's going to go off on like a 36-hour bender and get us all like a couple months off. That would be sweet. That would be nice. We could relax for a little bit and then just read about it in the paper. But unfortunately, we don't have that now. Our only hope is that the babies like slowly grow up to be like nut jobs or something. That maybe that, because I don't see anybody else doing it. But I mean, fingers crossed. Hopefully, somebody loses their mind.
I know Martha likes to take a nap at lunch. That's pretty exciting.
What is it like going from a small role in The Beast to a starring role in Raising Hope? And can you talk about your experience with the legendary Patrick Swayze?
Well, I never actually got to work with him, sadly. I only had my scenes with other actors, so I don't have any stories about working with Patrick Swayze, but I had an interesting day on set, for sure. I worked on The Beast. I spent most of my time just kicking rocks in the parking lot for like 8 hours, but it's a big change. I mean, this is a time-consuming job in ways that I never understood, having not really experienced television or film before. And so you really do start to, it becomes your life in a lot of ways. And I'm sure Greg knows even more than me. I think he works longer hours than anybody else. But you become sort of a family with the crew and with the cast. And then at the same time, it's very separate from, like, the experience of the audience. Because, you know, frequently I don't get to see the show on TV because we're working. And then, I don't have time to go out into, like, this, you know, into the city or anything like that because we're working and working and working and working. So it's sort of like being in Narnia. You know, you're in this wonderful fantasy pretend world, like, 80 hours a week. And then you go home and you just sort of sleep. And then you're back in pretend land. It's great. I guess I don't know how to have an answer for you. I'm still figuring it out. I'm still figuring out what it means. It's nice to be able to afford to go out to dinner. It's nice to be able to buy new socks. I just really like to get to work with the people I get to work with. But, you know, if it wasn't TV, if it was all just us hanging out, putting a play together, I'd still want to work with the same people and do the same thing. So I think that's the best part of it, is I really just... I'm so lucky that I really, really enjoy what I'm actually doing.
If this turns into just a play, I'm out of here. I just want to say
I assume no one else will stick around. Everybody else needs to get paid way more, but I just really enjoy it. I don't know. It hasn't changed my life too much other than that, you know, I'm not desperately poor anymore. But that remains to be seen. You know, we have a whole other season to look forward to, so I'm excited to see what that'll mean for my life as well.
With so many funny people, you know, on set, and how much room in writing the show is there for improv?
Not a lot. the show, we frequently end up cutting stuff from the scripts because we just don't have, you know, we have such a action-packed 22 minutes. But I know there's, like, little moments. There's little flourishes that get added in. Like, I know Garrett and Martha and Clore certainly have, like, they're little things that sometimes can get added in that are, I don't know if you even call them improvisation, but they're, like, tiny little ad-libs that make it into the show sometimes. But the writing is really strong, and I don't think it needs it.
Were you enjoying the success of the show so far?
Oh yeah, you kidding me? It's way better to be on a successful show than on a canceled one. I love it. I hope I get to do it for a long time. The scripts are still incredibly funny, which is just, I can imagine having to write 22 episodes and hundreds upon hundreds of pages of jokes that these guys write. It's just a blast. I'm having a great time.
Greg, how much has Lucas matured or developed as an actor since you have him?
He seems to be going backwards. I don't know. I mean, he's a solid actor. I mean, he was a solid actor when he showed up here, and he remains a solid actor. I think that... I think that as we all get more and more comfortable in the character, both in the writing and the performance of it, we're finding different things, and we're always, you know, the character is always evolving and stuff. But, you know, I think that, you know, perhaps Lucas could tell you how he's perhaps changed maybe by being around other people, or, you know, just like I've written around different people, and then you tend to pick up other people's habits or learn things from different people. But from my perspective, he's the same solid actor he was at the beginning.
Yeah, so I hope that's a good thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's hard to subject, you know, objectively quantify your own performance, and it's really something I would never want to do. But I think that, you know, you certainly get more comfortable with people and with a job the longer you continue to do it. And, there's sort of a symbiotic evolution that happens, and hopefully that is happening, you know, for me. I'd love to, you know, I try to encourage myself that, you know, whatever job I'm doing, I'd like to be a little bit better every day that I come into the office, you know, because I don't think there is such a thing as perfection, and wherever I am as an actor, I always think there's room for improvement. So I try to just come in with my head up and try to pick up as much as I can and be a little bit better every day. And I've got a great, great group of people to sort of help me towards that goal.
Thanks, Lucas and Greg, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from TV, film, and theater, and so much more. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.